Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we've got a relatively quieter news day for Tesla, just a few stories to go through, and we did of course have some excitement with the stocks, so we'll talk about that, as the Federal Reserve did meet today, as we talked about earlier this week. Then we've got a news item on Uber and Tesla, a couple of updates in China, and some interesting things on Volkswagen and Rivian, but again, should be a relatively shorter episode today. So looking at the stock, kind of a low volume up and down morning, but things did pick up in the afternoon, Tesla finishing up 3.6% to $1,213.79. This is an all-time high close for Tesla, and the day's high, which was a couple dollars higher, was an all-time intraday high, though of course we did see higher prices in after hours on Monday. So that pickup in action that we did see this afternoon, that of course coincided with the Federal Reserve meeting minutes being released and Jerome Powell speaking shortly thereafter. So you can see a rise across the market at that time, whether you're looking at S&P, Dow, or NASDAQ, or of course, Tesla. So obviously, relatively well-received update from the Fed by the market. The Fed did announce that they will begin tapering back bond purchases. Right now that sits at $120 billion a month. And that's pretty much been the case for around the last year and a half. So the Fed today announcing that they're going to cut that back by $15 billion each month. So that's the beginning of so-called tapering. Though the Fed did say that there is no preset course here and that they could make adjustments to the plans if necessary. So those consistent purchases, one of the impacts that has is it helps keep interest rates low. Low interest rates are generally better for the stock market, or at least perceived as better for the stock market. First, because there's less attractive alternative investments in low interest rate environments. And then second, low interest rates or cheaper debt means greater earnings power and also potentially better access to capital needed for growth. So why were the stocks up when this tapering was announced? Well, it's been alluded to for a while, so widely expected. And some other comments made around inflation and interest rates could have been perceived a little bit more positively by the market. But really, I think it's just more of a risk removal going into these meetings. And this is why we brought it up earlier this week. It creates uncertainty because no one is exactly sure what's going to happen, even though there are broad expectations. So when the meeting does then eventually happen, even if there are things that the market might see as slightly negative, a lot of the potential short-term risk is then removed. I think that's especially helpful in the case of something like Tesla, where number one, it's a growth stock. And then number two, it has seen this huge run-up that people are a little bit uncertain on if, okay, is this a new range? Is this going to hold? Or is it just a spike that then drops back down? So we'll see what happens the rest of the week. But as we talked about earlier this week, I do think a lot of the trading action in Tesla this week has been influenced so far by this Fed meeting. Now that's removed, so we can move on and see what Tesla actually wants to do on its own. Of course, that's never really the case. We're still going to have macro influences, especially right now with whatever happens with the budget reconciliation and infrastructure plan. As for Tesla individually, we did continue to see, or I guess hear from Leo Kogawan, that he continues to buy shares. He tweeted that he has recently bought 184,000 more and intends to buy 105,000 more before January. All right, next up here, we've got a little bit more of a continuation on this Uber, Tesla, Hertz triangle. This time we're focusing just on Tesla and Uber. Sorry, Hertz. But Sky News today reporting somewhat confusingly on Tesla being added to an Uber Green initiative, specifically in London, that allows Uber drivers to receive a discount on buying or leasing a Tesla to use with Uber. The reason I say that it's a little bit confusingly reported here is because the headline reads Uber strikes deal with Tesla to boost electric car uptake in London, and then the body of the article talks about Uber's new partnership with Tesla. Now, I don't know for sure, but I do believe this is likely a misinterpretation in this report, or at least doesn't mean quite what it may imply. So how this works for Uber in London is that for every trip with an internal combustion engine vehicle, 3 pence or 4 cents per mile is taken and put into a clean air fund. That fund accumulates on a per driver basis, and the money that is in that fund can then eventually be used towards the purchase or lease of an electric vehicle. So let's say a driver drives 10,000 miles, that would generate about $400 for their individual clean air fund. And really the only way to access that is to, again, buy or lease an EV. For any driver that is then driving an EV, that 4 cents per mile goes directly to them instead of a clean air fund. So it's kind of like a little carbon tax system that Uber is running here, which, who would have ever thought that that could work? So far, this has generated about 135 million pounds or roughly $185 million. So anyway, as far as where Tesla comes in, basically Uber is just saying that these funds can now also be used on Tesla vehicles, but really I don't see much of a reason that that would need to be much of a partnership at all. These articles kind of present as though there may be some discount that Tesla is giving here as a part of this clean air fund, but looking at the details on Uber's page, it really just refers people to the Tesla Design Studio and says that that is where the pricing is. It's basically just approving that those clean air funds that have been accrued can be used for a discount on a Tesla, but it's all the same money for Tesla, just maybe is a little bit different transaction because of where the money is coming from, since part of it would then be from Uber. Of course, this is all very unsurprising given the no discount stuff that we've been talking about throughout this week. Regardless of the structure, it's definitely a good thing that Tesla is now officially approved as a use for those funds. I would imagine that there's a fair number of drivers that would want to hold out and use that clean air fund for a Tesla. All right, next up, there are a couple things out of China. So there was a rumor yesterday that was going around that I didn't report on just because I didn't feel like there was enough credibility to talk about it yet. But there were some rumors building up in China that Tesla was going to build a second gigafactory in Qingdao, China. However, if you did happen to see that, Ray for Tesla here reporting that Grace Tao, a Tesla China vice president, has denied that, saying that, quote, the info being disseminated online about the location of second gigafactory is untrue. So there's that, and you'll note that she does say that the location is untrue, so maybe there is a second gigafactory in the works. And normally I'd say don't read too much into that, obviously there could be translation things there, but I have heard rumors that Tesla is looking for some more land in Shanghai and that there could be an announcement in Q4 on that. Obviously take that with a grain of salt, but apparently the land that they're looking at is much larger in size than Giga Shanghai. So pretty interesting, and if I hear anything else on that, I will pass it along. Next, just kind of a quick thing Tesla did share on their LinkedIn page, just kind of a video highlighting some of their employees in Canada and things that they're working on. Part of that was about batteries, specifically manufacturing equipment for batteries. Not any really earth-shattering revelations, but interesting to see them working on this equipment in Canada. Obviously, Tesla's got a pretty heavy battery research base there with Jeff Dahn's team in the past, so not too surprising, but fun to see some of the footage too of that equipment. All right, next up, we've got another update on Volkswagen. This is coming from Handelsblatt. Of course, previously we had talked about the tension between Volkswagen's Works Council and CEO Herbert Diess. Sounds like that has remained and potentially escalated. Handelsblatt here summarizing their article by saying, quote, the powerful VW Works Council questions CEO Herbert Diess. A mediation committee is set up on the supervisory board. The group is blocked until the decision is made, end quote. A good portion of this article is paywalled, but it sounds like the Works Council is considering pushing for a vote of no confidence against Diess, which would be effectively an attempt to remove him as group CEO. So we'll keep an eye on this. This is not the first time that the question of if Diess would stay has risen. Of course, in a previous instance like this, it seemed like Diess got a little bit less power. He stayed as group CEO, but not brand CEO, which, if my memory serves correctly, he was both at the time. So he has survived this before, but there might be some risk here. And again, it just highlights the points that we talked about previously. No matter what happens with Diess specifically, it's extremely clear that Volkswagen as an organization is not moving in the same direction. That conflict, that opposition, that's undoubtedly going to slow them down. Obviously, Diess trying to move in the right direction, but this may just be something that is insurmountable. All right, last item today, Rivian has filed a little bit more detail around their pending initial public offering. So we now learn a little bit more about the terms that they are seeking. They're looking to sell 135 million shares with an option for another 20 million shares at a price of $57 to $62 per share. So that'd raise them anywhere from $7.7 to $9.6 billion. And from the share count that I'm seeing in the filing, which is 725 million or so, plus the new IPO shares, it would put the valuation at around $53 billion, but I am seeing reports that say $60 billion, so I'm probably missing something there with diluted shares. Either way, it doesn't really matter. In that range, which is actually quite a bit lower than we had previously heard, which had been speculated at $80 billion. Still, that'd be a huge raise for Rivian, and pending their spending post Q2 could put their cash on hand at somewhere around $10 billion post IPO. So we'll keep an eye out for anything more in terms of the date on that. The other kind of interesting detail that I did see in the filing is that they did say that by the end of this year, they intend to produce approximately 1,200 R1Ts and 25 R1Ss and deliver about 80% of that production this year. So that is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, November 4th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.